The Secret River, written by Kate Grenville and read by Paul Blackwell.
When both of the bladders had been filled and hung back on the loops in the armpits of his coat, Collarbone got out a pair of splines he had already made, tapping them into the screw holes. Then he hammered the hoop back down over them. "What the eye don't see, Thorny," he said with a wink. "Eh? Like it says in a good book?" There was one morning every November when he woke to a quilted silence. The room was lit as from below. The split and sagging timbers of the roof, the shingles black with years, painfully illuminated. Even with his head under the blanket, he knew it was there waiting for him. Snow. It smoothed over the piles of filth, stopped the stinking tanneries in their tracks, covered the smells under its whiteness. These were good things. But the winter he turned 14, the river froze over, stone solid for 2 weeks. Down on the ice, there was a frost fair, with Irish fiddlers and dancing bears, chestnut stalls, and every man and woman loose-mouthed with gin. For those without the pennies to pay for the chestnuts and liquor, though, the fair was a time of being pinched hard. With the river froze over, there was no work on the ships, no work at the tan yards. In the little room off Mermaid Court, the Thornhills were starving. Mary was stitching away at shrouds as if her life depended on it, her fingers too cold to work properly. But the window that gave her light had no glass, so it let in the wind as well. Lizzie, taken with the quinsy, lay abed groaning and panting. John was out trying to lift potatoes from Tyrrell's stall with young Luke watching out, and there was Rob mooning about smiling, poor loon, when there was nothing to smile about. It was Mr. Middleton, that gloomy though kindly man, who saved him. One more baby had died, yet another son who would not grow to learn his father's trade and inherit his father's business. Something had shifted in Mr. Middleton. Some hope finally died. "He has gone very stern, Will," Sal told Thornhill. "Says there will be no more babies." After a long silence, she went on. "No sons, only me." He heard how she tried to keep her voice light, airy, saying words of no consequence, but he could hear the misery in it. But then Mr. Middleton told Thornhill that he would take him on as apprentice. "No thieving, mind," he warned him. "Any thieving, and you're out on your ear." For the sisters, Mr. Middleton knew a man who needed plain sewing done, which would keep the wolf from the door.